Today we're going to look at 1 Kings chapter 1, verses 11 through 53. And somebody came up to me earlier and goes, 42 verses? Yes, it will be 42 verses. It's what we got to do to get our series in. And as we look at this, it's in the final days of David's life. And his son Adonijah is setting himself up to be the next king over Israel. And see, that prompted, that promoted a crisis within Israel, because God's choice of David's successor for the king was not David's son Adonijah. It was David's other son, Solomon. So today we are going to learn how David resolved this crisis and had his son Solomon anointed as king over Israel. I'm going to ask you to stand as we read through our scripture. Again, if you need to sit down through any part of it or through all of it, you are more than welcome to. Then Nathan asked Bathsheba, Solomon's mother, "Have you not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, has become king, and our Lord David knows nothing about it? Now then, let me advise you how you can save your own life and the life of your son Solomon. Go into King David and say to him, 'My lord the king, did you not swear to me, your servant? Surely Solomon, your son, shall be king after me, and he will sit on my throne. Why then has Adonijah become king? While you are still there talking to the king, I will come in and add my word to what you have said.' So Bathsheba went to see the aged king in his room where Abishag the Shunammite was attending him. Bathsheba bowed down, prostrating herself before the king. 'What is it you want?' the king asked. She said to him, 'My lord, you yourself swore to me, your servant, by the Lord your God, Solomon your son shall be king after me, and he will sit on my throne. But now Adonijah has become king, and you, my lord the king, do not know about it. He has sacrificed great numbers of cattle, fattened calves and sheep, and has invited all the king's sons, Abiathar the priest, and Joab the commander of the army, but he has not invited Solomon your servant. My lord the king, the eyes of all Israel are on you to learn from you who will sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. Otherwise, as soon as my lord the king is laid to rest with his ancestors, I and my son Solomon will be treated as criminals.' While she was still speaking with the king, Nathan the prophet arrived, and the king was told, 'Nathan the prophet is here.' So he went before the king and bowed down with his face to the ground. Nathan said, 'Have you, my lord the king, declared that Adonijah shall be king after you, and that he will sit on your throne? Today he has gone down and sacrificed great numbers of cattle, fattened calves, and sheep. He has invited all the king's sons, the commander of the army, and Abiathar the priest. Right now they are eating and drinking with him and saying, "Long live King Adonijah!" But me, your servant, and Zadok the priest, and Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, and your servant Solomon, he did not invite. Is this something my lord the king has done without letting his servants know who should sit on the throne of my lord the king after him?' Then King David said, 'Call in Bathsheba.' So she came into the king's presence and stood before him. The king then took an oath, 'As surely as the Lord lives, who has delivered me out of every trouble, I will surely carry out this very day what I swore to you by the Lord, the God of Israel. Solomon, your son, shall be king after me, and he will sit on my throne in my place.' Then Bathsheba bowed down with her face to the ground, prostrating herself before the king, and said, 'May my lord, King David, live forever.' King David said, 'Call in Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah, son of Jehoiada.' When they came before the king, he said to them, 'Take your lord's servant with you, and have Solomon, my son, mount my own mule and take him down to Gihon. There have Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him king over Israel. Blow the trumpet and shout, "Long live King Solomon!" Then you are to go up with him, and he is to come and sit on my throne and reign in my place. I have anointed him ruler over Israel and Judah. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, answered the king, Amen. May the Lord, the God of my Lord the king, so declare it. As the Lord was with my Lord the king, so may he be with Solomon, to make his throne even greater than the throne of my Lord King David. So Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah son of Jehoiada, the Kerethites and the Pelethites went down and had Solomon mount King David's mule. And they escorted him to Gihon. Zadok the priest took the horn of oil from the sacred tent and anointed Solomon. Then they sounded the trumpet, and all the people shouted, Long live King Solomon! And all the people went up after him, playing pipes and rejoicing greatly, so that the ground shook with the sound. Adonijah and all his guests who were with him heard it as they were finishing their feast. On hearing the sound of the trumpet, Joab asked, What's the meaning of all the noise in the city? Even as he was speaking, Jonathan, son of Abiathar the priest, arrived. Adonijah said, Come in, a worthy man like you must be bringing good news. Not at all, Jonathan answered. Our Lord King David has made Solomon king. The king has sent him with Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah son of Jehoiada, the Kerethites and the Pelethites, and they have put him on the king's mule. And Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king at Gihon. From there they have gone up cheering, and the city resounds with it. That's the noise you hear. Moreover, Solomon has taken his seat on the royal throne. Also, the royal officials have come to congratulate our Lord King David, saying, May your God make Solomon's name more famous than yours and his throne greater than yours. And the king bowed in worship on his bed and said, Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who has allowed my eyes to see a successor on my throne today. At this, all Adonijah's guests rose in alarm and dispersed. But Adonijah, in fear of Solomon, he went and took hold of the horns of the altar. Then Solomon was told, Adonijah is afraid of King Solomon and is clinging to the horns of the altar. He says, Let King Solomon swear to me today that he will not put his servant to death with the sword. Solomon replied, If he shows himself to be worthy, not a hair on his head will fall to the ground. But if evil is found in him, he will die. Then King Solomon sent men, and they brought him down from the altar. And Adonijah came and bowed down to King Solomon. And Solomon said, Go to your home. Thank you. You may be seated. And may the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. Nick Bryant, who is the BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation, he is their New York correspondent. And on January 28th, 2016, Nick asked the question, Does America need to change how it elects its presidents? He then reported, The U.S. presidential race is sure getting interesting, to put it mildly. It was in 16, it was in 20. I imagine it's going to be in 2024 as well. But to international observers, our current political fracas is entertaining, weird, and even freakish. A journalist at the BBC News wrote, For sheer entertainment value, it is hard to beat the road to the White House. As it zigzags through the cornfields of Iowa, the snowfields of New Hampshire, and so very many airfields that one becomes indistinguishable from another. Surely no other country can rival this electoral blockbuster. The problem is that the greatest democratic show on earth also doubles as the most outlandish. For international onlookers, people on the outside looking at our country, it can seem freakish and bizarre. A long-running farce populated by cartoonish characters, which works as entertainment, but as a poor advertisement for American democracy. You see, like many good dramas, it is episodic. Like every good soap opera, it has cliffhanger after cliffhanger. And like all good theater, it brings together a compelling repertory company. And I believe that Nick Bryant back some 17 years ago, 16 years ago, whatever it happened to be, somewhere right there, he's not too far off the mark. You see, an outsider's view is often different than an insider's view. We can take that even within our own congregation. Sometimes it is painful to get that outsider's view, but if we would listen, if we would pay attention to it, it could be helpful for us to hear what they have to say. We get to read and to study the struggle for succession to David's throne. That's what our narrative is about today. When we get to see it from an outsider's perspective, we read this narrative with the advantage of almost 3 millennia, 3,000 years of hindsight. We also know what the outcome of this struggle is, which the participants back at that time, they did not know. We already noted that David's son Adonijah, he made a bid to succeed his father as the king over Israel. But Adonijah, he was not God's choice to succeed David. David's son Solomon, he was God's choice to become the next king of God's earthly kingdom. So let's learn a little bit about David's son Solomon being anointed as the king over Israel, because our scripture today shows us the coronation of God's king. First, the coronation of God's king shows us the countering of the conspiracy. The first 10 verses of 1 Kings, which we looked at last week, tell us about David being old and his son Adonijah setting himself up to become the king over Israel. God's prophet Nathan, he was not invited to Adonijah's coronation. But he somehow hears what is going on. He's learned what's taking place. And so he goes to Bathsheba and he asks Bathsheba, "Have you not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, has become king, and our Lord David knows nothing about it?" You see, Nathan, he knew that the lives of Solomon and Bathsheba were in danger, because in ancient times, kings would execute any potential threat from their rivals to their throne. Nathan knew that God had told David that Solomon was supposed to be the next king over Israel. So Nathan goes and he tells Bathsheba what it is that she should do, that she should first go to David and ask him to confirm that their son Solomon was to succeed him. And then if that was true, why is Adonijah now king? And then while Bathsheba is still there talking with King David, Nathan, he would come in and he would confirm what it is that Bathsheba is saying. And that's exactly what happened. Bathsheba, she goes to speak with David, and while she is still speaking with him, Nathan comes in and he affirms that Adonijah has been crowned as king. But Nathan, he concluded his report to King David with a question. "Is this something my lord the king has done without letting his servants know who should sit on the throne of my lord the king after him?" Now, you may recall from lessons ago that earlier on, Nathan had confronted David about his sin with Bathsheba and Uriah. And in that instance, years ago, Nathan used a hypothetical story to bring David to the sense of his sin. You may remember the story. But now in this instance, Nathan is using a question to stir David to take action against Adonijah. See, David, he was God's king ruling over his kingdom. David's greater son, Jesus, he is now God's king ruling over the church. There are times when people conspire against Jesus and his church. It is our task to speak the truth against anyone who conspires against Jesus and his church. We live in a society that is growing in its rebellion against Jesus. We see it all the time. We expect that from society. But when churches and ministries, when they start conspiring against the truth, then we need to be stirred to action. We need to speak the truth and to let people know. Let us counter the conspiracy against Jesus and his church, the conspiracy that is growing, wherever we find it in society. Second, the coronation of God's king shows us the prescription for the ceremony. Nathan's plan, it worked. King David swore a second oath to Bathsheba, insisting that he would fulfill his very first oath to make Solomon king. David says in verses 29 and 30, "As surely as the Lord lives, who has delivered me out of every trouble, I will surely carry out this very day what I swore to you by the Lord, the God of Israel. Solomon, your son, shall be king after me, and he will sit on my throne in my place." And then David, he goes and he calls for his trusted leaders. He gave them very specific instructions about the ceremony at which Solomon should be anointed as king. One interesting feature that is actually given to us, it's found in verse 33. David says, "Take your Lord's servant with you and have Solomon, my son, mount my own mule and take him down to Gihon." So they're going to Gihon and Solomon is riding on this mule, and the significance of that, riding on a mule or a donkey, in ancient times it was a symbol of royal office. You know, that's exactly why Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday. He rode in on a donkey because it showed his royalty. Today, the equivalent would be to see the President of the United States riding in Air Force One or maybe Marine One. Some of you may know that he was here on Friday and he left yesterday. Maybe not. David was affirming that Solomon was king by allowing him to ride on the donkey. After giving instructions regarding the anointing with oil, David said to his trusted advisors regarding Solomon, he says in verse 35, "You shall then come up after him, and he shall come and sit on my throne, and he shall be king in my place. I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah." David carried out God's will to have Solomon succeed him as king when he gave them instructions about how the ceremony was to take place. Third, the coronation of God's king shows us the crowning of the king. David's leaders did exactly what he told them to do. In verse 39, we read, "Zadok the priest took the horn of oil from the sacred tent and anointed Solomon. Then they sounded the trumpet and all the people shouted, 'Long live King Solomon!'" And now that Solomon had been crowned as king by the proper leaders and with the correct process, the people, they had a choice to make. Would they submit to Adonijah as king, or would they submit to Solomon as king? And you know, in verse 40, we read what the people did. It says, "And all the people went up after him, playing pipes and rejoicing greatly, so that the ground shook with the sound." Do you know that today, every person faces the same choice, even today? Who will be our king? Will it be Jesus? Or will it be some rival to Jesus? Such as another religion or maybe ourselves, there are a lot of things out there. See, there are only two spiritual kingdoms in the world. There is the kingdom of God and there is the kingdom of Satan. And Jesus, he sits on the throne of the kingdom of God, and Satan sits on the throne of the kingdom of Satan. And Satan allows all these false religions and these false idols, other things to creep in to try to distract us, to take our attention. But in the end, they are all subservient to Satan. Which kingdom do you choose? Finally, the coronation of God's king shows us submission to the king. Adonijah and all those who are with them, they're at En-Rogeli at this feast that is taking place. It's less than half a mile from Gihon, where Solomon is being anointed as king. The cheering after Solomon's anointing, it was so loud that it could be heard by Adonijah and all of his guests some half a mile away. Then Joab, he heard the sound of the trumpet as is blown, and he asked the question, what's the meaning of all the noise in the city? Perhaps he thought that the city is cheering for Adonijah. But Abiathar's son, Jonathan, he brings Adonijah the bad news. He says, not at all. Our Lord King David has made Solomon king. Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet have anointed him king at Gihon. From there they have gone up cheering, and the city resounds with it. That's the noise you hear. Moreover, Solomon has taken his seat on the royal throne. And oops, there is this awkward moment. There is this awkwardness. Adonijah's guests, they suddenly realize, they suddenly know that they have backed the wrong horse. They are in the wrong camp. And they couldn't get out of En-Rogel fast enough. They make haste and clear out as quickly as they can. Adonijah, he realizes that his goose is cooked, that he has made a grave mistake. His attempt to take the throne, it is now lost. But Adonijah, in fear of Solomon, he went and he took hold of the horns of the altar. Adonijah, he is sure that Solomon was going to put him to death for trying to steal his father's throne, just as Adonijah would have put Solomon to death if the situation were reversed. Adonijah was hoping that by putting himself under God's protection and Solomon's mercy, by grabbing the horns of the altar. You see, the horns of the altar, they were these four upright projections, one on each corner. The altar was kept in the exact same tent that David had made for the Ark of the Covenant. It had long been a custom in Israel that a wrongdoer could go and could grab a hold of the horns of the altar. The horns of the altar were the symbols of strength. And when they did that, they could place themselves under God's protection. Solomon, he's told that what Adonijah is doing. Solomon says that if Adonijah proves himself a worthy man, that is that he is loyal to Solomon, that he would not be put to death. And so verse 53, our last verse for this morning, then King Solomon sent men, and they brought him down from the altar. And Adonijah came and bowed down to King Solomon. And Solomon said, go to your home. You see, Adonijah, he was in rebellion against David and against God's chosen successor, Solomon. However, when he realized that his rebellion had been exposed, that he had been figured out, he threw himself at the mercy of God and his anointed king. And so Solomon extended mercy to him. It was 9:04 a.m., September 2nd, 1945, aboard the battleship USS Missouri there in Tokyo Bay. World War II was officially ended. Signing on behalf of Emperor Hirohito, the Japanese foreign minister, he inked his signature to the document declaring Japan's complete, unconditional surrender to the Allied powers. And you know what followed? With occupation aid, with help from the others, and from tutelage, Japan emerged from the ashes of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Recovery, it was slow. However, it was steady. And Japan has become one of the most productive, peaceful countries in the world. Placing itself at the mercy of the prevailing powers allowed Japan to renew itself. But first, the Japanese military and the government, they had to completely give up, lay down its arms, accept surrender with no conditions. Do you know that the king sitting on the throne of God's kingdom today is David's greater son, Jesus Christ? And if you have never done so, you could surrender to King Jesus today. There are some who have never, ever accepted Jesus. They have never made that commitment. You could do that. Lay it all down and follow after him. There are others who maybe you have accepted Jesus in the past, but you've wanted to hang on to little parts. You know, there's these little things that you want to hang on to. That all needs to be surrendered to Jesus. Complete, total surrender. Only when Jesus has it all are you completely surrendered to him. Are you willing to surrender it all to King Jesus? Surrender everything and to follow after him.